I've just titled the message, Unconditional Surrender. Unconditional Surrender. And I'd like to look at that this morning. Okay. Well, in July or August of 1945, Japan was faced with a real difficult decision. And if any of you know your history, you know what it was. I'm not real good with history myself, but they were faced with a real difficult decision. And Japan's history up to that time, it was quite astounding. They had come out of the Dark Ages just a couple of years before, in a sense, and rose to a world superpower. It was astounding. So much to the fact that they were able to take on Russia and destroy a huge part of Russia's military in a battle between them and Russia, and coming out of what had been a closed society for a number of years, for many years. They had gone from being a closed country to a country closed to outsiders, to one of the most powerful military forces in the world, through the help of their emperor, who they considered to be divine. The Japanese had fought with resolve and commitment and would rather have died than to surrender, as was demonstrated out through that Second World War. They fought, and they fought hard. Like it was there on that island of Iwo Jima, I think it was called. There was about 20-some thousand Japanese on that island when the Americans, the Allies, came to take over the island. And they fought with all they had. 18,000 of them died. And 216 of them were captured. And the others that, and they wished they would have died. They'd rather have committed suicide than to surrender, than to give up. That's how the Japanese fought. They were not about to deny or to let down their emperor. They were completely loyal to him. And they would rather die than they had the resolve and commitment to give everything they had. But here in August of 1945, Europe had fallen to the Allies, and the Allied nations were calling for the elimination of all time of the authority and influence of those who have deceived and misled the people of Japan into embarking on world conquest. This is what they asked. They said, "We call upon the government of Japan to proclaim now the unconditional surrender of all Japanese armed forces. The alternative for Japan is prompt and utter destruction." The Japanese government couldn't agree on what to do. They were committed to being loyal. The odds were so obviously against them. The rest of the powers had crumbled. Nazi Germany had, Hitler was done for, Mussolini was done, and they were left alone standing there. And the odds were so obviously against them, but they had also their religion to back them up, their belief in their emperor being divine, and the Japanese people were not going to give up. And some of the military leaders, and they had met for a conference to decide what to do with this appeal from the Allied nations for unconditional surrender. And some of them, they rather have been remembered as the Japanese people that were obliterated during World War II. They wanted to fight it out until the last one of them were gone. They knew they were going to get gone. They were overwhelmed. But they wanted to fight it out and be known as those folks that fought it out to the end. Some wanted to make an agreement with the Allies that they would surrender if they can keep their imperialistic government and still keep the emperor on the throne. That they'd be willing to surrender if the Allies would agree to that. In the end, they chose to answer with silence. Just silence. They said, "We're not going to say anything." Well, then on August 6th, the United States dropped those awful atomic bombs there on Hiroshima. And then again, 3 days later in Nagasaki, they dropped those bombs that resulted in over 200,000 people being killed, just obliterated through those bombs. And a few days later, I think the same day that they dropped the bomb on Nagasaki, the Russians also invaded a part of Japan. And a few days later, the emperor ordered the military to accept the terms of unconditional surrender, even though it most likely meant his own undoing and possibly would cost him his life and the life of those of his family. And they turned in their swords and signed the agreement, and General MacArthur took complete control of Japan. The military was scattered all across the Pacific Islands, and one by one the generals brought in, and they had their ceremonies where they handed their swords over, signed the papers, the unconditional surrender. Whatever the Allies wanted to do with Japan, it was in their hands now. And General MacArthur took complete control. Now, I don't like using something as awful as this war as an allegory, but I think if you follow along with that history piece, you start seeing some connections between our life and that what just took place there that took place there in 1945. But there was another war that was being fought. Another war began back there in the Garden of Eden. And Eve, there in the Garden of Eden, thinking she was doing something good, ate some of that forbidden fruit and then gave it to Adam. Now, Eve was deceived, it says, and so I think she sincerely thought she was doing something that was good. She gave to Adam, and Adam was left with a choice. His wife was giving him this thing. The devil was saying it was good. And Adam made that willful choice to listen to his wife and to the lust of flesh instead of the word of God. And a war began that has lasted ever since, and all through the history of mankind. That war began there in the Garden of Eden. All throughout history, mankind has been fighting against God with the emperor of self, who feels like he's divine sitting on the throne. Right? Mankind has worshipped him. He has fought for him. Mankind's even willing to die for himself as long as that imperialistic government is still in control. They can go to extreme measures and do extreme things in punishing their bodies and even willing to die as long as self is still on the throne. God gave grapes, and man made wine and got himself drunk to honor himself. God gave abundance of bread, and men honored self with gluttony and idleness and immorality. God gave manna, and self wanted the leeks and garlics of Egypt. God led with a cloud, and self wanted a golden calf, something they could see and touch. God led through the prophets, but self wanted a king, so we can be like the nations around us. And down through the years, it's been the same story, all down to 2021. Man has wanted to be served and to call the shots. To have self on the throne. To be the one in charge and nobody else telling me what to do. This war is fought in the heart of every man and woman on this earth. But the call of God comes the same as it did to the Japanese that day. God's call is the same. He's calling for unconditional surrender on the part of every human being on this earth. Unconditional surrender. Not just an outward gesture of surrender, which is what they wanted to do. Say, you know what, we'll surrender. We'll stop the fighting as long as we can maintain our own government. And, you know, not just an outward, that's what God's asking for. He wants complete giving over of that form of government that's within, that wants the emperor of self to sit on the throne. He wants unconditional surrender where he can have complete control. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. This will just be a short message here this morning. But Luke chapter 14, let's just look at some of the terms of surrender that God has given for people. Part of the burden for this match is God has been speaking in my heart on this subject and shown areas of need of surrender in my heart. But that also there's so many of our friends and loved ones that we know of that have lost out spiritually. And this is a thing that you hear often. I tried Christianity and it didn't work. I don't know if you catch it there. But there's a condition in that statement that's not unconditional surrender. And if we're going to be faithful and true to God at the core of our being, there has to be unconditional surrender. And that's what God is asking for, unconditional surrender. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, these are some of the terms that he of this surrender that he lays out. And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. These are the terms that Christ has laid down. If you read through that, what's left? Your own life also has to be hated. It's a condition. You can't hang on to it. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, we have a verse there. It says, familiar verses, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That's the condition. That's the terms of the surrender that God is calling us to. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. There's not anything left. Right? There's nothing left. Again, in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 24... And said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Let him deny himself. Now, I don't know if you think about what all happened to the Japanese that day. They had that emperor was in there and that method of governing for at least 200 years. They had to deny themselves. They had no idea what was going to happen. I mean, they did have some terms that were given to them, they had some promises that were given to them. But in reality, they didn't know what was going to happen. It was unconditional. They were not allowed to call the shots, call the terms, and anything. It was all in the allies' hands. They had to deny themselves the right to rule. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's the terms of surrender that God has put out. No room for self-rule anymore. No more room for the emperor to be on the throne. Again, in Luke chapter 9, verses 59, let's look at that yet. The terms of surrender that Christ put out to us. Let's start in verse 57 in Luke chapter 9. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another said also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell while they are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Terms of surrender, terms of discipleship that our Lord has put out. Unconditional surrender. Do you catch that here? There are no let me first. These men had good desires. They said, yeah, we'll surrender, but let me first go do my own thing, the things that I wanted to do. And Jesus said, a man having done that is not fit for the kingdom of God. Christ is looking for more in that. He's looking for unconditional surrender. The person that will say, like Peter was it John, I think, that left the, when Jesus called them and said, come follow me, they left all. They just got up and left it, and they followed Christ. Unconditional surrender is what Christ is looking for. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, there are no other options. There are no, I'll follow him if, or I'll follow him as long as. No, we subconsciously make some of those agreements sometime with the Lord, don't we? You know, I'll follow the Lord if he blesses me. You know, I'll follow the Lord as long as, you know, I always really wanted that good wife. And as long as I get a good wife, or a husband, or as long as I, you know, we make these agreements with God. There's none of that possible when we come to follow God. He wants unconditional surrender. Imagine, I don't know what all happened there, the few things that happened there after General MacArthur took over the island. I mean, he went through and did some pretty major reforms of government. I don't remember history right, but I don't think he killed the royal family. I think he actually had them help him rule. But can you imagine the emperor who had ruled Japan? Now General MacArthur comes in there, and what if General MacArthur would have came in and told him and said, I'd like for you now to go down and get an aid program started in Hiroshima to get that rebuilt down there, and why don't you be in charge of getting the aid together for that, or why don't you start to open up a food bank in Tokyo, you know, I want you, and the emperor's out there handing out food to poor people, you know. That's if that's what they signed up for, unconditional surrender. If that's what General MacArthur would have told them to do, that's what they would have had to do. I'm not sure what all happened. I think he took him and had him help rule and things. But that's the kind of thing they were giving up. Complete surrender of who they were and their government. That's what God is calling us to. Total surrender. Let me just illustrate it this way. When God begins to call us, you know, there are some terms that he comes. He lays some of these things out. A man must deny himself, an unconditional surrender. It's a little like if we take a blank piece of paper and God says, I want you to sign your name at the bottom of that paper. I want you to sign your name down here. If you're going to follow me, sign your name. And then I'm going to take care and write whatever I write above that is what you're going to need to be responsible to do. Unconditional surrender. There's no conditions. I will sign my name I see on there he says, if you delight in the Lord, I'll give him the desires of heart, so I'll sign my name. No, not that. No conditions. Just unconditional. Now, we look at that, that sounds so foolish. I mean, the reasonable man says, I'll never do something like that. Why let someone else fill in the blank paper for me? That's foolishness. But that's what God is asking. He's asking for unconditional surrender. And then he'll fill it out. We have to remember that the one who gives us the paper to sign is the Creator. He's the good. He's a good God. He is good. At his very nature, he's good. And so when he asks us for unconditional surrender, it's for his own glory and for our good. It's not that he's out there to destroy us. He's the giver of life. He's the creator of the world. He's the all-wise, eternal God, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. That's the one who's giving us the paper and say, here, sign here. If you want to follow me, take up the pen and just write right there and sign your name. And then I'm going to fill it out. Now, we don't know, we have no idea what God will write in our paper. You know, we like to think, and we have promises in Scripture of things that he'll, but we don't know the future. We don't know the practical circumstances that he'll bring to bear in our lives that we'll have to respond in obedience to the Savior. And we don't know what repercussions that will bring in our lives. But he's just asking us unconditionally, just sign here, and I'll fill it up the top. This God who gives the paper is not like the people of this world. He's not like the Allies were with a lot of selfish agendas in it. But he's God. He's the God who so loved that he gave. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And he's extending that eternal life to us. But it comes with unconditional surrender. And I really, probably most of you, this is basic for most of you, but I think we have to understand this, that if that is not there, if that unconditional surrender is not there, we're not going to make it in our Christian life. It's not going to work. When we unconditionally surrender to God, it means that we chose to believe God. To believe what God says and to do what he says regardless of how we feel about it. Or whether we're accustomed to doing it that way or not. But because we've surrendered to the Lord unconditionally. The Japanese had all kinds of customs put on them by the Allied powers because they surrendered. That was what they had to do. That's what they chose to do. And if we unconditionally surrender, we will not rely on our feelings or things that we're accustomed to make our decisions. We'll rely on whatever God has written on that term of agreement. You've surrendered to this unconditionally. Now let me fill it in. How about you? The Japanese's part was simply to stay surrendered. So what does it mean to live an unconditionally surrendered life? In a practical way, what does that mean? I think we understand that. It needs to be unconditionally, right? But how does that practically work out in our lives? Well, even after the Japanese emperor proclaim full surrender, unconditional surrender to the commander-in-chief of the Allied forces, there were still some fighting going on, even up until the 1970s. There were still pockets of Japanese that just said, we are not giving up. Many Japanese chose suicide over surrender. Many of them killed themselves rather than turning over their weapons. A few days after the emperor made his speech announcing the surrender. The U.S. military sent some planes in to start taking over things and getting control of the airports and things. And a bunch of Japanese planes flew out and started bombing and missing and fighting against them. And it happened the second time they went in. And they checked into it, and it was just Japanese soldiers that were not going to give up. It didn't matter what the emperor said. They were not going to give up. And they continued to fight, and so they ended up going in and taking all the propellers off their airplane so they couldn't fly anymore. 6 years after that document was signed by the by the Japanese official. 6 years after it was signed, two Japanese soldiers came out of their caves on Iwo Jima. They were still hiding out for 6 years. They were not going to give up. And they came out, and they too had to come under the rule of the occupation. Even when we make that full unconditional surrender, there's still some of that old man in us that still wants to fight and keep that emperor on the throne, right? That's how it is in my life sometimes. There's still parts of me that just said, well, I'm not giving up that part. Not that part. And we want to hang on to it. And those parts of our lives will assert its loyalty to that old emperor that still wants to be loyal to that thing. And those things hiding in the cave must be brought into full surrender to the Lord as well. You know, a full surrender, full unconditional surrender begins by signing this blank piece of paper and then committing to following through with that regardless of what happens. It's just, there's no other choice. There's a total and complete commitment to doing the will of God, and all resistance to that is brought under the control of the occupation. There's no other option. If you understand what the will of God is, you do it. You've unconditionally surrendered. Now, I'll say sometimes we don't know the will of God, and we battle, and there's some of that struggle that goes on in our hearts, even after we've surrender to the Lord. And you may not know the will of God at the moment, and there may be some turmoil in your mind as you try to figure out what is the will of God in this situation. So God says to honor my father, my mother, but my father's asking me to do something that I'm not sure. Is this the will of God or not? What do I do? And this battle can go on. But the paper is signed. And immediately when you know the will of God, you do it when you're unconditionally surrendered. Once you know the thing to be the will of God, if you've unconditionally surrendered to the Lord, you do the will of God once you know it. There's just no other option. You will choose God's way regardless of what your feelings and desires may say to the contrary, because you've signed the paper. You've unconditionally surrendered to the Lord. You know, in the Japanese lives, there was many things that continued the same as they had before they surrendered. They kept on eating a lot of the same food, dressing the same way, did a lot of the things the same way. But the central government had changed. Self was no longer on the throne, so to speak. That emperor was no longer on the calling the shots. The central government had changed. How do we walk in that unconditionally surrendered life? It gets real practical. And maybe you could probably come up with more practical things than I can, but it gets real practical. You know, you've signed that paper. You've unconditionally surrendered your life to the Lord. And you understand clearly that God, the occupation, has taken over, and you're under His guidance. Whatever He says to do, you do it. And you know that God said, honor your father and mother. You know, as a young man, maybe you know that God said to honor your father and mother, and you say you surrender to that, and you're unconditionally surrendered to God. And so whatever you say, God, you'll do. And then your dad comes along and says, "Son, I want you to change your hairdo. I don't like the way you're combing your hair. I want you to change your hairdo." And that battle begins all over again. Those two soldiers just stepped out of their caves, and that battle starts all over again. You start to argue with that old emperor back on the throne. He says, that's just dad's stuffy old opinion. He's back, you know, they used to comb their hair like they did back in the old days, and that's his old opinion. And God says, God doesn't say I need to comb it that way. Nowhere in the Bible does it say I need to comb it that way. That's the old government. That's the old emperor wanting to get back on the throne. And God just keeps writing on the paper. He just keeps on writing on the... He says, he's filling it in. He says, children, obey your parents. You say, well, but I'm almost on my own. I mean, I don't need to be listening to my dad that when I'm this age, I can learn, I can comb my hair how I want to comb it. He shouldn't be telling me how to comb my hair. And then God writes on the paper again, you know, thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us. But, do you understand how that battle is? It's that real and that practical for us, even after we've fully surrendered. But the unconditionally surrendered heart, when God starts to write those things on, and we say, yeah, yes, God, I know that's your will. It is. And it says, yes, Lord. It says, yes, Lord. I was used to making my own decisions as the emperor of the imperial government, but as you say, I will do, God. I'll do whatever you say, God. And surrender to the Lord. And says, Dad, how do you want me to comb my hair? And do you understand that? It's unconditionally surrender. Now, it's not surrender to the dad. It's surrender to God. God calls to unconditionally surrender to him. And in, he can get to say whatever he wants to say in our life. And we do what he tells us to do. Unconditionally surrender. You know, maybe you've signed that paper and God wrote on there, you know, it's good to marry only in the Lord. But you think, you know, but I always wanted to marry one of those outgoing boys with lots of fun and toys and big trucks and be in the in crowd. That's the boys I wanted to marry, not one of those religious freaks that are just too sober all the time. You know, I God writes on there only in the Lord, and you say yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And again, I want to say, when God asks us to sign his name, our name on that, he's a good God. And he does, when we delight in him, he does give us the desires of our heart. And he gives better and things that we can ever imagine, which is what happened to Japan, actually. They ended up better off than what they were previously. God writes on that paper, you've signed it, and it says, husband, you loves your wives. And you say, well, that, yeah, God, but that was before she did, you know. No, husbands, love your wives. It says on their fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But we want to argue and say, but God, that didn't mean when they were acting like that, you know. No, you know. The surrendered heart says, yes, God, you know, I won't do that. It's unconditionally surrendered. It's not conditioned. It doesn't have anything to say if, well, it depends on the situation. It's whatever God says. If it's known to be the will of God, it's unconditionally surrendered, whatever God says. You know, maybe your feelings will say, it just doesn't work for me. And then God writes on there, but all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, I don't feel it that way. It just doesn't. Well, but that's what God said. And we surrender and we say, yeah, it is possible if that's what God says. Your emotions say, I can't take another day with my selfish husband and crabby children. God says to teach the women to love their husbands and love their children. And the surrendered heart says, I don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. But yes, Lord. And against all feelings, it goes and gets another drink for that child. Breaks up another fight. Changes another stinky diaper. Against all feeling, because it's unconditionally surrendered. Not just for the good days. The unconditionally surrendered life is one where God has complete say and control. And we just simply believe what God says and act upon it. No conditions attached to it. We're just completely given over. Like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And we and I have no idea what God has in mind. You know, we live in this life and James says our life is but like a vapor. It just appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It's just here for a little bit. And who are we to control that vapor? You know, we want to say, we're going to make the thing. It was just here for a little bit. And we have no idea what God has in mind for us. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's an unconditionally surrendered heart. Maybe God wants to slay Job to make a testimony of him out to the rest of the world. We don't know what he has in mind for us. But the unconditionally surrendered heart just says, yes, God, I know this is your will, and we need to follow through with it. And if it means I, as the emperor, get beheaded and somebody else gets put in my place, then so be it. Unconditionally surrendered. You don't try this kind of Christianity to see if it works. It's impossible. It's impossible to try this kind of Christianity to see if it works. It's unconditional surrender, or else. I mean, there's nothing else left. If you try Christianity to see if it will work, it won't work. That's putting a condition on it. Living the surrendered life doesn't mean all conflict is ended, but the outcome has already been determined. You will follow through with what you know to be the will of God if you're unconditionally surrendered. It doesn't mean there's no conflict. And you may struggle, and you may battle in your heart over an issue for a year or 2 years, but when you come to that place, you know it's the will of God, at the end of the day, you're surrendered. You will do what God's will is. Galatians 5 says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Those that are Christ have their flesh crucified. Theirs is an unconditional surrender with a solid change of government. The old man is up on the cross and can have no say-so anymore in their lives. Their allegiance, their yielding to, is now to God and to his will. So in conclusion here, remember that vapor. I think we get a hold of that. Life is so short. And somehow we'd like to have it all planned out and think about how we want it done, and we want to do this in our life, want to do that in our life. And so I'll follow God as long as, I'll be faithful here as long as it helps me to this end. And God says, no. Your life is just a vapor. I want you here to do this. And then we're gone. Just that quick. Life is over. Very few of us remember our great-great-grandparents, right? I don't even know my great-great-grandfather's name. Can maybe look him up in a book somewhere. But he lived like you and I live, working every day and raising a family. But his vapor is gone. It's simply not worth it to hang on there on some little island somewhere and say, I'm not giving this thing up. I'm not surrendering. And we fight until we're obliterated and ourself takes over and destroys our own souls. We have an eternal loving God calling us today to an unconditional full surrender. Let's not be fooled into thinking that we can somehow guide this vapor better than he can. The people of Japan were actually trying to preserve themselves as a people and a race. That's why, as a race. That's one of the reasons why they were fighting. They wanted to preserve themselves, but in doing that so, they're actually killing themselves. They were being destroyed. They had the promise against them of prompt and utter destruction, and in their surrender, in a sense, they found life as a nation. They found preservation, in a sense, in their surrender. And God is the same. He who seeks to save his life shall lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. God is good. When we surrender unconditionally to him, he is our creator and redeemer, is a much better government than the old emperor self ever was. A much better government. Amen? He knows our life much better than we do, and he gives us what's best and right. So, unconditionally surrender. And I just want to make that appeal to us this morning. I don't know where you are at, and I feel like I'm the one that needed this reminder to stay at a place of unconditional surrender. But where, I don't know where you're at this morning, what God is laying his hand on your life. But let's maintain that heart, that attitude of unconditional surrender. And if we're not unconditionally surrendered, there's some conditions on it. Let's get rid of those conditions and just say, yes, Lord, Yes, God, whatever you say. Let's sing that song again in closing here. Let's just sing the whole song again. And I think this puts it so well in a good... there's so many of us who are longing, as human beings, longing for peace, longing for faith. We even pray for it. We long for it. We go after it. But like it says in verse 3, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed till our body and soul he doth fully control. Until there's that unconditional surrender, we'll never really know the peace and the rest that God wants to give to us. Now let's just sing this song. We can take it home and ponder on it this week with it.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar you're all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest. Yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest when you yield him your body and soul.